The Holy Spirit, the work of regeneration. And our text is that verse 5 of the third chapter of Paul's epistle to Titus. In verse 5 we read, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration." By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. As I said, today we want to consider, with the Lord's help, the part that the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit plays in the work of regeneration. That is, the regenerating of the soul of man. The Greek word for regeneration is only found in two places in the New Testament. Matthew 19, verse 28, and here in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. But it is only here in Titus that the word refers to the new life in the soul. The word generation means recreation. This is what Paul meant when he wrote in his second letter to the Corinthians, saying, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Any man that is in Christ, he has been regenerated. He is a new creation. All things, because of this work of regeneration, this new creation, all things, the things that belong to the old, unregenerate life, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. And Paul emphasizes and teaches the same doctrine in Galatians 6 and verse 15. And as we can see from our text, this work, or more properly, this act of recreation is carried out by the Holy Spirit. Regeneration is the beginning of new life in the soul, and indeed in the souls of God's elect. Ephesians 2, verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So we are His workmanship. This is a work of God. We are created in Christ Jesus. There's the work of regeneration. Other terms are employed in Scripture to describe the Holy Spirit's work. The word quicken is used by Paul in Ephesians 2. And verse 5, "You have He quickened." And the word quickened means to give life. This is the work of the Spirit. We are quickened by the Holy Spirit. We are given life by the Holy Spirit. The same word is used in John 6 and verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. So we have established that this quickening, this recreation, this regeneration is the work of the Holy Spirit. The terms birth, or born again, or begotten, it's signify this beginning of new life or regeneration. You want to take a note of some of the references. John 1 verse 13. John 3 verses 3 to 8. 1 Peter 1 verse 23. 1 John 2 verse 29. 1 John 3 verse 9. 1 John 4 verse 7. 1 John 5 verses 1, 4, 18. And James 1 and verse 18. And so this leads us then to consider the Holy Spirit's power in regeneration. To raise the dead to life demands the putting forth of a power which only God possesses. Only God is able to raise the dead. And this the apostle confirms in Acts 26 and verse 8. For there, Paul says, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? And this is exactly what the Holy Spirit does, is to raise the dead soul to life. Now, if only God has the power to raise the dead, then only God has the power to give life to a dead soul. For the work, or as is said more properly, the act of regeneration is of God. It's the work of God, the Holy Spirit. And such divine power was needed and is needed in regeneration. One, because of the condition of man's soul. It is very clear from Scripture what the Bible has to say about the true nature of the unregenerate soul. In other words, what we were before we were saved, before we were regenerated or quickened by the Spirit of God. What was the condition of our souls then? Soul of the unregenerate man is dead. That is a fundamental doctrine. The soul of fallen man is spiritually dead. Paul, in writing to the Ephesian believers, said, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And again he said in Ephesians 2, this time verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. This means that man has no power to originate life in his own soul, to be spiritually dead. How can he give himself life? How can he bring life into his own dead soul? It's impossible. Colossians chapter 2. There we read in Colossians 2 and verse 13, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. You, being dead in your sins, hath he quickened together with him. has he quickened together with him, he being the Holy Spirit, quickened together with him, namely Christ. This means also that man is passive in regeneration. That is, he cannot contribute to it, since he is spiritually dead. He cannot contribute to his own salvation, because he's dead. So therefore he is passive in this act of regeneration. Some look upon regeneration as the free will of man choosing a new way. Arminians believe that the human and divine wills actively cooperate in regeneration. You see, Arminians believe that there is a little spark, albeit a spark, there's a little spark in every man's soul, and all that is needed is for that spark to be, as it were, fanned into a flame through the preaching of the word. And that soul then will be regenerated and brought to a saving knowledge of Christ. But that is not true. That is not what the Bible teaches. Have we not already read in Colossians and in Ephesians that we are spiritually dead? We're spiritually dead, and in our sins, how then can we cooperate with the divine spirit? How can we cooperate with the Spirit of God to bring forth life? It's impossible. Regeneration is a result of God's working alone. A dead man can do nothing to contribute to his own resurrection. There's the Lord Jesus, and he's standing outside the tomb of Lazarus. Lazarus is dead. There's no doubt about that. He's been in the sepulchre 4 days. Now, how could Lazarus assist the Lord in his own resurrection? No. The Lord alone brought Lazarus to life, because the Lord Jesus alone had the power to raise Lazarus from the dead. And the Spirit of God is the one who carries out that great work of regenerating the souls of his elect. God works alone in the matter. We do not assist him at all, because we're dead. Not only with regard to the condition of man's soul is it dead, but it is also depraved. Turn, please, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. This is the very matter that Paul is dealing with in this letter to the church at Ephesus. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. There's man's depravity. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature Mark that. We're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's what we were by nature. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ by grace. Are ye sealed? So not only do we have this dead nature with us, depraved nature. It's totally depraved. And remember what the Lord said about those who lived in the days of Noah. Genesis 6, verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Imagination. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. There's no sign of a spark of goodness or light or life there. Every imagination of his thoughts were only evil. Not evil and good, but only evil. And once more, only evil continually. And some may say, oh, well, that was in Noah's day. Man has improved somewhat since then. Man has advanced somewhat since then. Don't believe it. Remember, man is a depraved nature, and he cannot improve. Man's nature is totally depraved. So there's nothing in him to make him improve. Rather, man will only get worse in behavior and conduct. Fallen man has a natural bias towards sin. There is no right exercise of heart in him. But every notion of his will is corrupt and sinful. It's not a very pretty picture, is it? But that's what we are. That's what we were before we were saved. Full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. From the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. That's what we were. If this were not the case, there would be no need for man to be born again. No need for it. No need for him to be made a new creature. As Arthur W. Pink stated, quote, if the sinner were not wholly corrupt, he would submit to Christ without any supernatural operation of the Spirit. But fallen man is so completely sunk in corruption that he has not the faintest real desire for God. Hear those words again. He is so completely sunk in corruption that he has not the faintest real desire for God, but is filled with enmity against him. For the sinful soul is enmity with God, Romans 8 and verse 7. That is why John wrote in John 1, verses 12 and 13, but as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Mark this. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man,
but of God.
We were born again, not because of our own will. It wasn't our own will that caused us to look to God and claim salvation. No. We were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Praise the Lord. Do you notice that God has given all the glory? When Arminians say that they had a part in their salvation, they're denying God the glory that is of His name. Because they're saying, we had something to do with our salvation. Therefore, the focus is on man and what man did, instead of being on God. What did Jonah say when he cried out in the fish's belly, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. He didn't say salvation is of the Lord and man. He didn't say salvation is of the Lord and the preacher. Salvation is of the Lord. Period. So we have the power of the Holy Ghost in regeneration. That power that was needed because of the condition of man's soul. Next we see in the act of regeneration the change that takes place in man's soul. The result of regeneration is a new man or a new creature. This renewal affects the understanding and the will. Mark that. It affects the understanding and the will. The natural man. He who is spiritually dead hears the word, listens to the language of Scripture, but does not understand it. For example, when the truth that God is merciful is stated in language, the unregenerate man understands the language grammatically and logically, but nothing more. He understands the language. He has no accompanying consciousness of God's mercy. Give another example. It's the same as a blind man's knowledge of color. What knowledge does he have of color? He may be told about the colors of the rainbow and the colors in a rose garden. He understands what you're talking about, but he can't comprehend it. He can't see those colors. It's like the word of God. It's like mercy. He understands what you're saying, but can't really comprehend it. And when the Holy Spirit regenerates the dead soul by His supernatural power, the understanding is enlightened then. You know yourself what it was like when the Spirit of God regenerated you and brought you to life. And suddenly, you understood what the preacher meant when he spoke about the love of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God. You've understood it for the first time. Your understanding was enlightened. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. 1 Corinthians, turn please to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And there in verse 10, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. And the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? That's the limit of his knowledge and understanding. Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And the only way we can know those things is when the Spirit of God regenerates our soul and gives us the light of knowledge and understanding. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words of man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And you know that's true. Many times did you hear the gospel before you got saved? The word was preached. What effect did it have on you? None. You got up out of the meeting and went out turning your back on the God of the Word and the Word of God, trampling underfoot God's truth, and you went on your way and it never cost you a thought. Why? Why? Because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can we know them because they are spiritually discerned. And it's only when the Spirit of God regenerates us and gives life where before there was death that we then come to understand the Word of God. This change wrought by the Holy Ghost also affects the will. The unregenerate man has a will for nothing but the world, the flesh, and the devil. He does not have a will that desires the things of God. That is, until he is regenerated by the Holy Ghost. So that when the sinner is called to repentance, called unto God, he is able to respond. Because he's been regenerated now. He is made willing and is able to answer the call of God. Once more, we go back to our days when we were unregenerate and dead in sin. And the gospel was preached and the gospel call went out. And we were called to repent and receive Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God was at work in the meeting. And the Spirit of God was thriving with us. But we were dead. And so we left the meeting. We turned our backs on God. Because we didn't have a will for the Lord. Or a desire to come to Christ. That is, until that night, or that day, or that hour, the Holy Spirit regenerated us and made us willing to come to Him. Made us willing to accept the call of the gospel. See, it's all of God. Paul said in Philippians 2, and verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. See? Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's the work of God. Not us. Romans 9 and verse 15. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. What's Paul saying here? He's saying again, it's not of us, it's not of our will, it's not of him that runneth, but it is of God. And notice something else. God will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. God, the Holy Spirit, does not regenerate every soul. God, the Holy Spirit, only regenerates the souls of his elect, those upon whom he has mercy. Doesn't regenerate the souls of every man. Every man's not going to be in heaven. Words of the Lord Jesus. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Doesn't say the Son quickeneth all men. The Son quickeneth whom he will. Notice, Spirit of God brings blessing and quickening and regeneration through the Son. Every blessing that comes to us through Christ. Son quickeneth whom he will. And the Lord said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Believer, we ought to rejoice afresh today that God chose us to be his children. That God had mercy on us. When others will leave this scene of time, facing the wrath of God, God had mercy on us. And he quickened us. For the Son quickeneth whom he will. Praise the Lord. See, the Lord gets all the glory of God. Nothing to do with us. Wasn't my choice or your choice. Finally, see what the Holy Spirit produces in regeneration. You've seen the Holy Spirit's power in regeneration. What is produced? Having regenerated that lost soul, we see that the Holy Spirit produces in that now living soul, first of all, conviction. The Lord Jesus informed his hearers that it is the part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit to convict. Part of his ministry. Turn to John 16. John chapter 16. There we read in verse 7, Nevertheless I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Now you take that word reprove. He will reprove the word of sin. The word reprove means to convince or to convict. He will convict sin. That's his ministry. That's his work. The Holy Spirit convinces the regenerated soul and convinces him, convicts him, and convinces him of his sin. When we were unregenerate, when we were dead, we weren't convinced that we were sinners. Oh, and they had it up here, and maybe reluctantly, stubbornly have said, well, maybe I'm a sinner, maybe I've done something wrong. But we weren't convinced that we were totally depraved, that there was no good in us at all. There wasn't a spark of goodness in us. We weren't convinced of that. That was the work of the Spirit of God. And my, when the Spirit of the Lord convinced us, and we saw the truth, we were brought to realize the truth about ourselves. Spirit makes the convicted soul feel how grievously he has turned his back upon God. The Spirit of God convinces the enlightened soul that he's a transgressor and a breaker of God's law. And he's condemned already. Isn't that what happened when we were regenerated? And suddenly realized, I am a sinner. I'm a bigger sinner than ever I thought I was. I'm rotten to the core. There's no goodness in me at all. And what's more, I'm condemned to a Christless sinner's hell. I'm condemned already. I've broken God's law. There's no hope for me. And what Paul said, Romans 3, verse 24, by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law was our schoolmaster. The law, by the law is the knowledge of sin. And Paul again said in Romans 7, and verse 7, I had not known sin but by the law. And it was the Spirit of God that showed us we had broken God's law. Holy Spirit convinces the awakened soul that he is a transgressor of the law, therefore he is a sinner. And he employs the living word of God to convict and convince the soul of sin. And what a powerful word it is. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's a powerful word. So the Spirit of God regenerated us, where before there was death, he brought life. And then he convicted us, convinced us of our sins. He heard the Word of God, and the Word of God pierced us right over the very heart of our heart. The Spirit then opens the eyes of the sinner to see the remedy for his sin. But what is the ministry of the Spirit also? What did Christ say? He shall testify. And the Spirit of God through the Word pointed us to Jesus Christ as the remedy. And the state of the natural man's mind is said to be one of ignorance and darkness. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. There's the ignorance. We didn't know Christ. We were ignorant. Ye neither know me nor my Father. There's the ignorance. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That's what we were. In darkness, understanding was darkened. We suffered the blindness of our minds. Then in regeneration, the Holy Ghost took that dead soul, regenerated it, giving it life. Suddenly our understanding was enlightened. Our will then was turned from the things of sin and Satan, turned to God. We heard the word. And the Spirit of God showed us Christ. Here's your remedy. Here's the answer. He brought us out of darkness, 1 Peter 2, verse 9, into God's marvelous light. Conviction and conversion. That's what the Spirit of God produced in regeneration. Regeneration precedes and is immediate cause of conversion. The Holy Spirit acts in regeneration. And as a consequence, the human spirit acts in conversion. Paul said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have to call. A man who never calls on the name of the Lord will never be saved. The Spirit of God regenerated us, enabling us to call. Granting us the gift of faith. Faith wasn't something we produced ourselves either. Faith was a gift of God. By grace are ye saved through faith. John informs us that only the regenerated receive Christ and enter into the privilege of God's children. We've read those words in John 1 and verses 13 and 14. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, or of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We beheld Christ. Christ the Lamb. As many as received Him, we received Him. To them give He power or authority to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on His name. And then the conduct. That's what the Spirit of God produces. A change in our conduct. Conviction, conversion, and conduct. Any man that is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. There's a change in the regenerated man's conduct. The conduct, the conversion, and the regenerated soul changes his behavior. He begins to live a life of righteousness and holiness. The things he once hated, now he loves. You see, hate the things of God. But my, now that we're regenerated, now we love the things of God. The things we once loved. The unclean, wicked things of the world. Why, those things we love now. 1 John 2, verse 29. For ye know that he is righteous. Ye know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of Him. There's the evidence. The evidence that new life has begun in the soul. The evidence that regeneration, conviction, and conversion has taken place. Everyone doeth righteousness. That person is born of God. It's gone there. desiring to live a holy life and do righteousness as evidence of the new birth and as proof that regeneration has taken place. 1 John 3 verse 9, whoso is born of God does not commit sin. That doesn't mean that he's sinlessly perfect. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. The words there mean, they indicate a habitual law keeping, a desire to keep God's law, a desire to live for God, a desire to do that which is right and is pleasing in the Lord's sight. Regenerated soul no longer loves the world, but has a love for holy things. He has a love for holy things because they are holy. Because they are holy. That's why he loves them. Galatians 5 verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's the change. There's a love also for the people of God. 1 John 4 verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. If we love one another, it is evident that we've been regenerated. This is further evidence in the new life. The new life has begun in the soul. For John went on to write, he that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. Praise the Lord for thee. Act of regeneration, the work of the Spirit of God in our lives. Let us now unite our hearts together in prayer. Our loving and our gracious eternal Father, praise thee for the third person of the Trinity. Thank thee for this blessed Holy Spirit who opened our eyes to see Christ. Because even as the Scripture says, seeing we saw not, hearing we heard not, until the Lord opened our eyes and opened our hearts as he opened the heart of living. O gracious Lord, there are many today and they still are in nature's darkness. Their souls are dead. No, not a spark of life. They're without God and without hope. O Lord, come and answer prayer, and Lord, regenerate dead souls, and Lord, bring them to the cross. Call them, Lord, with that irresistible call. Bring them savingly to Christ. We thank thee for bringing us to Christ, for saving our souls. Lord, we bless thee for having mercy on us. Lord, we pray that we'll meditate upon thy word today, and we'll rejoice in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we'll rejoice in Christ our Savior and Elder Brother, and we'll rejoice in the God of our salvation. Make us a rejoicing people. Be with us now, Lord, as we leave the Lord's house. Be with us as we travel. May we be conscious that thou art with us. And Lord, in thy will, return us to the Lord's house tonight, to learn more about thee, to have an increased heart knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forever. Amen.